Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. First on the docket, Ghislaine Maxwell complains about her conditions while behind bars. Second, Michael Flynn goes back to court again. Third, a missing mom's update. First on Suzanne Morphew and then Melissa Banda. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich from Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. First, we'd ask if you haven't already done so, if you'd hit that subscribe button, hit that little bell so that you receive notifications, and as always, leave us a comment below. We do read them. Today is Tuesday. What does that mean? That's right. It means we're going live tonight at 6 p.m. on YouTube and Facebook. We'll be simulcasting. And right after that, we will be doing our Crime Talk Patreon edition, where if you're a Patreon member, the conversation will continue. So make sure you sign up on the link below. First on the docket today, Ghislaine Maxwell complains about the conditions while she's behind bars. Well, can you imagine the audacity? Ghislaine Maxwell, who's been denied bond as it relates to the sex trafficking charges that she has pending against her as a result of her ex-boyfriend, who we shall not mention. Yes, I did yesterday. And what happened exactly? That's right. YouTube demonetized the video. I'm not trying to say that there's censorship or any kind of conspiracy. However, let's face it, some things just seem a little more coincidental than others in life. Well, Miss Maxwell says that she is under uniquely onerous conditions while inside the New York federal jail, and she is being subjected to round-the-clock surveillance and numerous body scans. Now, this all came via her attorneys in filings with the court. And as yesterday, the ex-boyfriend died 1 year ago today, so you can only imagine why Miss Maxwell is receiving such special treatment. You would think as a VIP such as Miss Maxwell that she would be honored by all of the extra attention she's receiving. Well, Miss Maxwell would like to be removed from solitary confinement and placed into the jail's general population so that she can prepare for her upcoming trial as well as preparations for motions hearings. What really seems to be bothering Miss Maxwell's attorneys is that not only is she under 24-hour surveillance, but it appears that there are people there other than Bureau of Prison personnel actually monitoring the cameras. They take notes of everything that she does during her daily activities, including phone conversations with defense attorneys. Now, those shouldn't be monitored, but they are certainly taking track of the time that she spends with her counsel for sure. Miss Maxwell is finally off the suicide watch, which no longer requires her to be awoken by the Bureau of Prison personnel every 4 hours to make sure that she is okay, as well as having no longer to wear special clothing. Her attorneys say she's not seeking special treatment, just that she doesn't want to be specially disfavored in her treatment while she is there, particularly as they note for crimes that allegedly took place some 25 years ago. Now, her attorneys are also requesting that the individual victims 1 through 3 referenced in the indictment that they are required to know and that they must know so that they can properly prepare a defense. It's a little surprising that the defense would even have to ask for this information. Although in the indictment, the alleged victims are referred to as victim 1, 2, and 3. Many of them have already been identified. Additionally, it's not uncommon, and it happens all the time in many, many cases that I handle, where the United States attorney will say, here is a proposed protection order. And it says, you can do whatever you need to do with these names during the course of your representation, but you can't disclose them to anybody else other than your staff, your attorneys, and your client. And by the way, you can't give a copy of that information specifically to your client. You can show it to them, discuss it, but they can't keep a copy. So I'm not really surprised. And really what they're asking for is a generic bill of particulars. A bill of particulars is when you can't figure out what exactly being charged, who is the particular victim in this particular case, and you're telling the court or you're requesting from the court an order to the United States attorney to say, produce this information because we have a right to know and we have a right to be able to put on an effective defense. And the only way we can do that is if we know exactly who the victims are. Why is that important? Because I assure you, with the resources that Ms. Maxwell has, they will have investigators fanning the globe, talking to anyone who may know anything about these particular alleged victims. And I say alleged victims because that's what the court will refer to them oftentimes as, or they may say victims, or even as a complaining witness. And these private investigators will be asking individuals about anything they know about the complaining witnesses slash victims slash alleged victims so that there's anything that will affect their credibility. And where will these investigators probably start? That's right. They will start out with a background search. They will want to know everything about it. Now, just like you all want to know about the people you're dealing with, that's why you should go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for your background subscription service so that you can get information anonymously on anyone you want in the United States. It will include social media information, email addresses, telephone numbers, specifically cell phone numbers, criminal records, property records, divorce records, all prepared in a report while you wait. If Ms. Maxwell's investigators are going to do it, don't you think we all should be able to do it as well? That's right. We use it in our firm every day. Saves us a ton of time and money. Go to crimetalksearch.com. Next on the docket, Michael Flynn goes back to court. As you may recall, Michael Flynn was the former national security advisor for the incoming President Trump and a brief period for President Trump. He was fired slash resigned early on in the Trump administration, and there were allegations that he was doing inappropriate conversations with the Russians. Ultimately, those charges were dismissed. And to say that this case has had a long and twisted and contorted path would be an understatement. First, Mr. Flynn pled guilty. Then he wanted to withdraw his plea based upon allegations of prosecutorial misconduct. New prosecutors looked at the case. The attorney general himself moved in and they said, we're dismissing the case. Then the judge did something I have never seen before, which is said, you're not dismissing this case. Why should I not charge the good general with perjury? Well, where'd the perjury come from if he was lying to FBI investigators? Well, when you plead guilty in federal court, you're put under oath. And if you give false information, you can be prosecuted for that. However, what the judge may not have actually realized, even though he's been on the bench for 30 plus years, is the fact that it's the prosecutor who makes those charging decisions. When the prosecutor says, we're not going forward with the case, I have never seen it. I have never heard of an attorney say the judge says you cannot dismiss. I think that the entire DC circuit, who's hearing this case, what they refer to as en banc, will tell the judge you can't go and become a prosecutor as well. Pick which side of the courtroom you're going to be on, the judge, the defense, or the prosecution, but you can't do both. I can tell you once, I had a case where we cross-examined the complaining witness in the case, and I kept telling the prosecutor throughout, this story by the complaining witness doesn't make sense. She said, I believe the complaining witness. The district attorney did. We cross-examined the complaining witness. When we returned from lunch, there was a motion to dismiss mid-trial. And I said, what's this? The prosecutor said, no one's going to believe that story after cross-examination. And I said, well, those were all the inconsistencies that I was telling you about for months. The district attorney filed the motion mid-trial. The court dismissed the case. The jury wanted the case to go forward. the judge maybe even had, but he had no authority to do anything. So Michael Flynn's case is ultimately going to be dismissed. The judge in that case needs to decide what side of the courtroom he wants to be on. Next on the docket, a missing mom's update. Now, first we have the case of Suzanne Morphew, another case here in Colorado where moms seem to disappear at a higher rate than other states for sure. Well, for those of you who do not recall or are not familiar with this particular case, Suzanne Morphew lived up in Chaffee County here in the state of Colorado. It's in the mountains. It's probably a good three and a half hour drive from Denver. It is alleged by her husband and other family members that Ms. Morphew went out for a bike ride on Mother's Day and that she never returned. Her husband, who is a volunteer firefighter and also has a landscaping business, says that he was in Denver for some sort of firefighter training. However, the Chaffee County Fire Chief has told individuals related to the case that he was unaware of any firefighter training sponsored by his department on that particular weekend. Other people say that they believe that the husband, Barry Morphew, was in fact working on a landscaping job in Denver when his wife went missing. There's apparently some digital evidence, perhaps from Barry Morphew's vehicle, that may not indicate that his story has been corroborated. More interestingly is the fact that it is alleged, and we'll give Mr. Morphew the presumption of innocence as any potential suspect or any defendant has, unless and until they plead guilty or are convicted by a jury, that he has refused two polygraph examinations requested by the sheriff's department. Now, I've told you my advice as it relates to polygraphs. They're junk. They are simply a means, a tool of interrogation. As you may recall, the polygraph examination was the time where Christopher Watts came clean as to what had taken place. It is this criminal defense attorney's humble opinion that oftentimes these reports that are generated from a polygraph test can be manipulated. I personally have seen circumstances where people were able to pass a polygraph examination when everybody knew that they had in fact committed the crime alleged. I've also seen people where there's no way they could have committed the crime that are unable to pass a polygraph test. If you are a calm person, you have a pretty good chance of passing it regardless of what you've done. They can be manipulated. So the fact that Mr. Morphew has allegedly not taken the opportunity for two requests to take a polygraph test does not particularly shock me. If he has obtained legal counsel, any attorney worth their salt would be telling him not to do that, particularly if the Chaffee County Sheriff's Department has said you are a suspect. This case is a very unfortunate and sad case. I hope for Suzanne Morphew's family, the truth is discovered rather quickly. And if there was foul play, the justice will come about. Next on our missing mom's update, Melissa Banda. She is the mother who went missing late last week. Well, unfortunately, she has been found deceased and her ex-husband has been arrested. There are reports that Melissa Banda, who's 37 and lived in Hidalgo County, Texas, was last seen on Friday being pushed into a white SUV that had been rented by her ex-husband, Richard Ford. There are other reports that say that Ms. Banda was last seen on Thursday night, so there appears to be some conflicting information about the circumstances of Ms. Banda's alleged abduction. It's also unclear who are the witnesses saying the abduction took place. The police have not yet commented on the circumstances regarding the death of Ms. Banda. However, her husband, Mr. Ford, was taken into custody on charges of harassment and violation of a protection order. Ooh, a protection order. Are you telling me those protection orders aren't very good if someone's going to violate them? Ooh, I'm shocked. Ooh, I'm so shocked. That's right. If you haven't guessed, I think protection orders are basically useless and not worth the paper they're written on unless one party is going to actually follow them, i.e., the restrained party. According to the McAllen Police Department, Ms. Banda had reported that the protection order was violated on June 30th when it's alleged that Richard Ford called her from a number that she was familiar with and he apparently stayed quiet on the line. Another unfortunate situation, and although Mr. Ford is obviously given the presumption of innocence, it would clearly look like another situation where a spouse doesn't want his spouse to go on and live a happy, productive life because he wants her to be miserable with him. Guys, get over it. Move along. There are lots of women out there. If they don't want to be with you, that's okay. But you don't have to go harming any single one of them. Not a single hair on their head. Move along. And finally, next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. That's right. Meet Mr. Paul Burke. Mr. Burke thought that it would be a good idea to drive his ride-along mower along the highway, which was 55 miles per hour. He was driving down the middle of the road where the speed limit is in fact 55, and it's obviously dangerous and illegal. What really complicated things for Mr. Burke is that he apparently was intoxicated and told the officers, "Can I just get a ticket and go home? Because, you know, I've probably had a little too much to drink." Mr. Burke was arrested for DUI. Mr. Burke, you are our dumb criminal contestant of the day for a couple of reasons. First, you're driving a lawnmower on a highway. Not smart at all, okay? If you get a DUI these days, you're probably deserving of it because there's this thing called Uber, Lyft, walking, all those types of things that won't get you a DUI. And Mr. Burke, you've had three prior DUIs, so this is going to be number four. That's right. Now, second of all, you are a dumb criminal contestant because if you have been watching Crime Talk over the course of our episodes that we've been putting up, you would know that I don't care if you had a cold beer in your hand while you were driving your lawnmower. If the officer asked if you'd been drinking, that's right. You say no, or you keep your mouth shut. And when they ask if you'll do those roadside sobriety tests, which you refuse to do, you say no because they're voluntary. That's right. So Mr. Burks, you're not as dumb as you may appear to be, but you still said just enough to get you arrested. So for that, Mr. Burks, you are our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Now, what does Mr. Burke get if he wins the overall contest for the dumb criminal contestant of the week? That's right. He's going to get a Crime Talk mug. And how are we going to find Mr. Burke? That's right. We're going to go to crimetalksearch.com, use our background subscription search, locate his address, and mail that off to him. Because frankly, I'm tired of people not collecting their prizes. That's right. Now tonight, we go live at 6 p.m. Mountain Time, both on YouTube and Facebook. Then we will go to our Crime Talk Patreon edition, where not only will we answer your questions and have a conversation about anything that you want to talk about, that's right, our Patreon members can actually call. We give you a phone number, you'll be live on the air, and we will have a great conversation. So sign up for your Patreon membership today so that after we go live tonight, you will get an email with the link so that you can participate on our Patreon page. Thanks for watching. Have a great day. We'll see you tonight.